Amen. Well, I am glad to be here tonight, and I'm glad that you're here. And instead of watching a Super Bowl, you came to church. I'm glad about that. And thank you so much for coming out for the services tonight. Now, I hope that you come back the next two nights, Monday night and Tuesday night, and you come here and be a part of the meetings. Now, I know you've done a lot of preparation and prayer, and boy, I commend you for that. We don't do that much anymore, it don't seem like, and I hate that because revival is just almost, well, we got to get our revival done for the year. Let's get it over with. But you all have not done that. You've prepared yourselves by praying, having the college prayer meetings. I've heard some great reports about that. I'm excited about that. Now, let's be here the next couple of nights. Let's do what we can to make sure that we're out. Call people up that maybe are not here tonight that could have been. And you'll get home in plenty of time tonight to do that. So you call them up. You get them out tomorrow night. Now, don't call them a dirty devil. I'll do that when they come tomorrow night. You just get them here. And let's have a good crowd here the next couple of nights. And let's see what God can do. Even if you have to come straight from work. If you have to come straight from work and your work clothes, you come. That's fine. We want you here. Now, if you can go home and get dressed for church, you go home and get dressed for church. But if you have to come straight from work, we just want you here. You come and invite some people out. Invite other churches out. And people they're not going to be in church the next couple of nights. So you get them here and let's see what God can't do in the next couple of nights. I'm excited about it. I was thinking that your preachers told me about your cottage prayer meetings. I've been excited about that. I was in a church just a couple of weeks ago. I didn't give your preacher this idea. Some of you may be happy about this, but I was in a church a couple of weeks ago. He asked his church to fast from their TV for 1 week. They went for 1 week for about a half a week before the revival meeting, and then during through the revival meeting, he asked the whole church, nobody to watch any TV, no video games. Of course, the teenagers are having conniption fits on that one. And but what a great meeting. The preacher told me, he says, the next day, he said, we started on a Wednesday night. He says, Thursday night, he says, outsold and one of the men, and one of the men said, preacher, I'm just having a rough time. He says, this morning. He said, I had to turn the TV on. He said, I just had to see the news. And he said, come on, brother. He says, it's just one day. He says, you can do this now. He says, we're just talking 1 week. And boy, we've got addicted to that thing. And I'm glad that you've done your part. And being a part of all the cottage prayer meetings, I think God is pleased with that. Certainly, that's a heart that God wants to do. Now, let me just say this, and this is no sign of what I'm going to preach tonight. But let me just say this. If we truly want revival, I've got news for you. Not every sermon's going to be easy to hear. Sometimes, you know, when you go into surgery, sometimes the doctor has to cut out some things. And that, you know, anytime you've been cut on, that never feels good. But the end results, you like the end results. And so I hope that you really will come out this week and say, God, whatever you speak to me about, I'll take care of it. And if God speaks to your heart, let me say this. Don't be afraid to walk an aisle. These altars, when we get away from the altar, that's when we get away from God. And it's good for people to use the altar. And so you come and do what God would have you to do. I think if you do that, I think God would be pleased. Let me, if I can, take just a couple of minutes, talk about my table out here. I have several different sermons in CD format. I think I have 9 different albums of my preaching. And there's 4 sermons per album. They sell for $15 a piece. I have 2 other albums out there of Dr. Russell Anderson. He's, of course, in this area. He may be a little bit known, a little bit better than in the average area. But he was a businessman that God used to help start 11 different colleges around the world. And, of course, help finance the monies for Hiles Anderson College and several other colleges. He's given $35 million to the work of the Lord. God's used him as a layperson. And he's a good business friend. He's a good friend of mine. You say, why is he your good friend? Anybody with a lot of money can be my good friend. And but he's a good friend of mine, multimillionaire. He's up in his 70s now, still traveling around, speaking in churches. I've got 8 of his sermons and 2 different albums out there. If you're a businessman, I'd encourage you. That may be a help to you, just to get some wisdom from another businessman. He's a good man. He's a good friend of mine. I hope that you could get that. If you get a chance, go out to my table, pick up one of these pieces of paper. This is my website. If you can visit my website, this is what I'd ask you to do. Visit my website, DomleyMinistries.com. If you could every week visit, find out where I'm preaching, ask God to pray for me as I'm preaching in that church, I'd certainly appreciate that. I've just started doing that this year. I've asked people to start visiting my website this week. every night, Monday and Tuesday night. Even some people this afternoon have prayed. There'll be people praying for the meeting here. And if I could get an army of people praying for me everywhere I go, I mean that would mean the world to me. Boy, we need revival in America. And if you could be part of that army, I'd appreciate that. And then, of course, my book I've just written, Blueprints for Life, it's right now in the process of going to the printers. I'm hoping that we'll send it to the printers here at the beginning of March and that the book will be out by the middle of March. If you'd like to get that book, the Sunday school lesson I taught today, that'll be one of the chapters inside the book. There'll be 12 other men along, so a total of 13 men inside this book, just teaching you some characteristics, some lessons that we can learn from the men, from these men of the Bible. It's good for both men and women. Just because I chose the men doesn't mean it's not good for the ladies. Some lessons that will be helpful to you. I think that you'll enjoy it. The book will retail for $14. You can get it. If you'll sign up, you don't have to pay me tonight for it, but you can sign up for it. It'll cost you $11 for that book. That includes shipping and handling, and I think you're getting a good deal on that. So I'd encourage you to get on that piece, get this piece of paper from me, fill it out, give it back, and get on the list. So when it goes to printing, we'll call you up and we'll work out the payment plan that route. We take cash, check, credit card. If you have food stamps, we might even take that. And but all that does, that helps me finance the ministry. I live strictly off of a love gift basis. I don't get a salary from any church. Whatever this church gives me and whatever I make off that table, that's what I'm going to live off of this week. And so that's, and maybe next week or whatever. But that's what I live off of. And so you're helping me in my ministry, and plus you're getting something back. So if you'd like to have a part, I'd be grateful of that. Well, take your Bibles, turn it forward to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to switch to this one right here. Dead on me this morning, one of the young men, Brother John, came up to me. He said, "Boy, I heard you way back." I sat in the back, and he said, "I could hear you all the way in the back," and that's good. I want to try to preach him up to the front here if I can. And this is where you get the fire and the spit right up here. And but I'm certainly grateful you've come out tonight. Galatians chapter 6, once you have found it, let's all stand as we read the Word of God. Galatians chapter 6. Now, if you have a cell phone, let me ask you to do something. If you have a cell phone with you, look at it right now. Make sure it's turned off. If it's not turned off and it rings, you got to buy me a pizza tonight, and the pastor a pizza. And I can see he's anyway. But whatever you need, you just turn it off. We don't need to. You know, we didn't have cell phones years ago. We did just fine when we went to church. People say, "What happens if someone calls and it's emergency? Let me help you out." It'll be emergency when the church service is all over too. And so just turn your cell phones off, and that'll help us all out just tremendously. Galatians chapter 6, verse 18, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. I looked at this verse one day. I was reading it. I was in my personal Bible study time. I was reading it, and God spoke to me. I was going through some rough times in my life. I hesitated whether to preach this sermon tonight, but for some reason God would not let it off my heart, because it's so close to somewhat to what I preached this morning, but it's going a different angle. I hope you listen to me tonight. I'm a relatively young man. I'm 39 years of age. I'm pushing that hilltop there. No amens on that. But I've grown up in the ministry. I've been around church my whole life. In my lifetime, I'll just tell you a few things, and I'm not saying this for you to feel sorry for me, although I hope that you would. But I've gone through 6 church splits. My dad was a preacher, and I'm saying 6 splits. I'm not talking about people just leaving. I mean, came to a vote. I mean, they were voting to vote my dad out. The last time that it happened, I can remember that I was of age at the time, and men that were against my dad actually came to me, and they were trying to get me to vote against my own dad. 6 splits. I've been threatened physically, of course, with my massive build. They ran off, of course. You laugh. You hurt me when you laugh like that. I've had men threaten to destroy my ministry, and I'm talking well-known men. I've gone through a lot of things in my life, things I would never even tell you because it's too personal, things that have happened to me. Somehow, in all these years, I've kept my spirit. I've kept my spirit from being hurt. Tonight, I hope you listen to me. I want to tell you tonight how I've made it through all of these things in my life. And I'll be quite honest with you. I'm going to be a little personal with a few people here tonight. But I believe if you'll listen to me, I think I can help everyone under my voice. I just know, ladies and gentlemen, it's a rough old world. It's a mean old world. You serve God for any length of time, you're going to have some rough times. You're going to have it. And I want to help you. I want to speak tonight on this subject. God's grace is also for your spirit. God's grace is also for your spirit. Father, I so badly want to help your people. I wish there was a way I could grab everyone's heart right now, and I could make that heart, every young teenager, every young adult, every middle-aged person, every senior person here tonight, every child, I wish I could grab every leader of this church and every member of this church tonight. I wish I could grab them. I wish I could stress to them the importance about what I'm about ready to say. I know I can't, but Holy Spirit, I know you can. And you promised where two or three are gathered together in your name, you said you'd be there. There's certainly more than two or three here tonight. So I know you're here. But while you're here, I hope we make you feel welcome while you're amongst us tonight. May we listen to you as you speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Everyone sit up tall and everyone listen to me very carefully. In the Christian life, Satan is constantly after our spirit. Constantly. If you've been saved for any length of time, I got saved 34 years ago. I'll be honest with you. It's been a constant battle for 34 years to watch my spirit. You know what I'm talking about. Every day, Satan is constantly going around shooting at our spirit, trying to puncture our spirit. Every day, you as a Christian, you're constantly having to watch your spirit. Every day, you're trying to make sure the devil does not grab your spirit. Why? Because every day, the devil is trying every angle that he can to get to your spirit. Why is that? I'll tell you exactly why. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 18, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? You see, Satan knows one thing. If he can wound your spirit, if he can injure your spirit, he don't have to get you to fall into sin. He doesn't have to get you to go out and be an alcoholic or drug addict or get you to go out and womanize or go out and get caught up in pornography. He don't have to do that. If he can just get your spirit, he can destroy you. Oh, you may never go into sin, but he knows if he destroys your spirit, you're worthless. He knows if your spirit is gone. You don't have, hey, there's people tonight that are good people. They don't smoke. They don't drink. They don't cuss. They don't do anything wrong. But the problem with them is their spirit has been punctured. Their spirit has been injured. Don't get me wrong. They might as well go out there and get drunk because they're not doing anything else. They might as well go out there and go and sin because the truth is they're destroyed by what's going on. Because Satan knows if he can get at your spirit, he knows he can destroy you in the Christian life. You see, that's all you do when you're in sports. I'm a sports nut. Ladies, I'm your worst nightmare on New Year's Day. I love watching football games. I loved watching the results of the national championship but let me move on there. I don't want to hurt your spirit. So some of you, I know there's a few Ohio State fans in here, but they can get right with God. But the truth is, I'm a sports nut. And when I was in high school, I played sports, but I learned one thing. You know, one thing that the defense is always trying to do, they're trying to knock down the spirit of the other team. They keep that team from getting in that end zone. The offense tries to score as many points so that team can get down. Hey, it don't matter how good you are. Once your spirit's down, you've lost the game. Once they've defeated your spirit, your talent will not meet up to its expectations because your spirit has been down. Why? Because they destroyed your spirit. You see,
That's what Satan's trying to do. Satan is constantly trying to kill our spirit. A few months ago, I was talking to one of our assistant pastors in our church. His name is Brother Rusty Gewin. Brother Gewin, he's from down in Alabama. He's an old southern boy, redneck. I mean, flat out redneck. I mean, you want to know what redneck is? Just come look at Brother Gewin. That's what he is. Now, Brother Gewin's a good guy. I was talking to him on the phone one day, and Brother Gewin, he said, now, Brother Domley, he says, now, don't worry about me. He says, but he said, if you hear a scream, he says, let me tell you what's happening. He said, I'm sitting on my desk right now. I said, you're doing what? He says, I'm sitting on my desk. I said, Brother Gewin, please tell me. Why are you sitting on your desk? He says, well, I was on the phone. He says, one of our teenagers from the school walked in my office, and he said, and the teenager said, Brother Gewin, what's that snake doing coiled up over by your filing cabinet? He said, I made a new seat on top of this desk. He says, because I'm dead scared of that snake. He said, I called up the exterminator. He says, I'm not leaving this desk until that exterminator gets here to the office. He said, because I'm scared to death of snakes. Now, I can tell you right now, he wasn't smart enough. I wouldn't have stayed in that desk. I'd have been out of there. They'd have had to burn that dumb trailer down. I can tell you that, because I'm not going back in there with a snake. I hate snakes. There's only one kind of snake I like, dead. And that's what kind of snakes I like. I'm just not a snake lover. But you know, I learned something about snakes. You know, snakes don't need a big hole to get inside of a building. All they need, if you don't like snakes, plug your ears. All they need is a little quarter inch hole to get inside. They find the smallest little hole in the house, and they slither inside of that little hole. Now, you know what? Satan is just like a snake. The Bible says that Satan is a serpent. He's the serpent and the snake. The serpent and Satan, they're used back and forth inside the Bible. He's like that serpent. What is he doing? He's just like that little serpent, ladies and gentlemen. He's trying to find that one little hole inside of your spirit that he can slither inside of your spirit and strike it with his poisonous venom and poison your spirit. And ladies and gentlemen, we have got to watch our spirit. We've got to be careful about our spirit. Why? Because Satan is constantly after our spirit, and all he needs is one little crack inside of that spirit, and he gets inside and he strikes that spirit, and before long you find yourself, you're a bitter old person. Hey, watch your spirit tonight. Why? Satan's after your spirit. Three times in the Bible, God makes this statement: the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Three times. Now, I know how most of us are. We get to the end of a book and we see a verse like that in the book of Galatians. Oh, that's just a closing. No, it's more than just a closing. It was God trying to teach us something very important inside of life. You notice, have you ever figured something out? Normally, the last words of a letter are very important, because that's the last thing they're trying to get you to remember. It's the last thing that they want you, as you stop reading that letter, they want you. That's why we close in certain ways. That's why when I write a family member, I close, love, Alan, because I want them to understand I love them. I'll make a little final statement. I just want you to know I love you. I'm praying for you. Why? Because I want people to know. Hey, I want them to remember the good. I want them to remember something important. Now, ladies and gentlemen, God, three times inside the Bible, is warning us that we should get God's grace for our spirit. Why? Because in each one of these instances inside of the Bible, God wants us to understand, if we're not careful of what's happened inside of these chapters, then Satan will use that to get us bitter inside of life, and we'll become bitter people. And he says the only way you can guard your spirit against the bitterness that life can cause is you need God's grace for your spirit, not just for salvation, but for your spirit, so therefore you do not become a bitter person. Now you say, Brother Domley, what are these three instances that we need God's grace for our spirit? Listen very carefully. In the book of Galatians, that book that the verse we just read, let me tell you the story of the book of Galatians. The Apostle Paul is writing a very sharp letter to the churches of Galatia. The churches of Galatia were fighting a false doctrine of allowing works into salvation. They were trying to say, yeah, you get saved by accepting Christ, but you got to add works to it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there is no works in salvation. It's by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, plus nothing, minus nothing. That's how you get saved. Now, ladies and gentlemen, they were fighting that. There was churches inside that city. They're trying to sow the false doctrine of works inside of salvation. And Paul, in the book of Galatians, is literally rebuking the churches of Galatia from becoming soft on this doctrine. And he says, hey, don't become weary in well-doing. He says, hey, you got to stand up and fight for the doctrines of the Word of God. Now, Paul was very sharp. He was rebuking the churches of Galatia. And then he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Why? Because the first time you need God's grace for your spirit is when you've been rebuked. Listen very carefully. Nobody likes rebuke. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Nod your head, act like you're awake, slap your neighbor next to you, do something, but act like you're out there right now. Hey, you ever been rebuked? You ever? What happens when you get rebuked? Boy, that all of a sudden that wall goes up. Man, all of a sudden someone's just rebuked you, and boy, all of a sudden, you know, that old flesh wants to try to tell them, we want to give them a piece of your mind. Now, you better be careful about giving them a piece of your mind, because you may not have anything left after you've done giving it. Now, you got to watch out. I'm simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to be careful. Why? Because once we've been rebuked, hey, that Satan will use that time of rebuke to get inside to you, and he'll cause you to become a bitter person, and that bitterness will eat you up the rest of your life. Hey, watch your spirit when you been rebuked. Hey, let me help you out. I mean, when the preacher rebukes you from the preaching, hey, watch your spirit. When a preacher gets up, and boy, you know what I'm talking about. Every once in a while, oh, nice Brother Rogers becomes mean Brother Rogers. He brings out that old bomb that he drops the bomb in that sermon. I mean, buddy, he peels the paint off the walls. I mean, it's one of those kind of sermons. You walk out, man, you brought your steel-toe boots. He ripped the steel toes off and still jumped on your toes. I mean, it's bad. I mean, boy, he just comes in here and he rips it up. Now, ladies and gentlemen, hey, when you hear a sermon like that, watch your spirit. Why? If you're not careful, Satan will use a hard sermon like that to cause you to become bitter. Hey. None of us like it when a preacher chooses how. Now, every once in a while, we need it. Now, we don't need a steady diet of it, but every once in a while, he's got to do that. And ladies and gentlemen, when the preacher gets up and he's hot and heavy, anybody, he preaches a hard sermon, and he gets on you, hey, watch your spirit. You need God's grace. Why? Because you're not careful. Satan will creep inside. You'll start driving home. What's that preacher think? He has the right preaching that type of sermon. Watch out. Watch out. Watch out. Why? Satan's after your spirit. He's trying to get you to become a bitter person. How many times have people stormed out these doors? That preacher has no right to preach that. What happened? What happened? Oh, Satan got inside. What happened? Satan got inside, struck their spirit, and all of a sudden, now they become a bitter old person. Now they're out of church. Now they're doing nothing. Now they never enjoy life. Why? Take exactly why. Hey, they heard a sermon. It was hard. And they didn't deal with that bitterness that had gotten inside. Hey, watch your spirit. Why? Satan wants to destroy it. When authority has rebuked you, you need God's grace for your spirit. Hey, the boss calls you in his office and chews you out. You need God's grace for your spirit. Hey, the answer is not quitting your job. Did you hear me? The answer is not storming out that office. What does that boss think he's going to do? Now, ladies and gentlemen, watch yourself. You've just gotten rebuked. Now, listen. None of us like it, but every one of us need it every once in a while. And every once in a while, when we get that rebuke, hey, watch your spirit. If you're not careful, Satan, you'll walk out. Your spirit has been injured just a little bit, and just a little crack inside of that spirit. And Satan comes inside, and he tries to destroy your spirit. Hey, when you've been rebuked, you need God's grace for your spirit. Hey, teenager. Hey, child. When your parents rebuke you, you need God's grace for your spirit. Mom and Dad, get on your case. Of course, I know that doesn't happen in this church because we got perfect teenagers and perfect young people inside this church. I understand that. But no, you know what I'm talking about. Boy, mom and dad get all over your case and they rebuke you. Boy, they get on your case. Now, let me tell you something, teenager. The answer is not getting bitter. You better watch your spirit when mom and dad get on your case. Why? If you're not careful, you'll go out there. You'll try to prove mom and dad wrong by having a bitter spirit. Now, you need God's grace for your spirit. When a friend rebukes you, you need God's grace for your spirit. When you go to the preacher for counseling, and now all of a sudden, what you thought was going to be such a nice counseling session, he gets all over your case. Huh? You ever been there? Don't raise your hand. You ever been there? You've been in his office, and now, I mean, every one of his counseling sessions had just been perfect counseling sessions. But man, this time you walked inside, and buddy, he got all over your case. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you better watch yourself. Watch your spirit. If you're not careful, you'll walk out of his office and go stumping to your car, and you'll say, what right does that preacher have to treat me like that? I'm an adult. He ought not to treat me like that. Now, ladies and gentlemen, every once in a while, sometimes counseling has to get a little rough. Because we don't listen any other way, so every once in a while, it's almost like you take a frying pan across the head. And that's the only way sometimes that you got to grab the attention. Now, when you've been rebuked, hey, watch your spirit. Boy, I've watched people come to churches like this, good churches. The preacher can preach 1,000 sermons, and they like every sermon he preaches. He gets up, preaches one sermon that peels the paint off the wall. They go stomping out, say, I'll never go back. What happened? Hey, Satan got the spirit. Satan got this spirit. Hey, watch yourself. Watch your spirit. Why? Satan's after it. He's trying to destroy your spirit. I said, when you've been rebuked, you need God's grace for your spirit. There's another time you need God's grace. You say, when's the second time? In the book of Philemon, Paul writes a letter to Philemon about a man by the name of Onesimus. Onesimus stole from Philemon. And now Paul is writing Philemon to accept Onesimus back. Now he was saying, he says, now I want you to accept him back, not just as a servant. I want you to accept him back as a brother, but even beyond that, I want you to accept him back as you'd accept me. Now, and as he closes the whole book out, he says to Philemon, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Now, why was he saying that? I'll tell you exactly why. Because the second time you need God's grace for your spirit is when others have wronged you. You listen to me. I'm about ready to get down where most of us are living right now. Ladies and gentlemen, none of us like to be wrong, but you're going to be wrong sometime in life. If you're not careful as a Christian, the Satan will use that time that you've been wrong, and buddy, he'll creep inside and he'll strike you and he'll cause you to become a bitter old person and an angry, a grumpy old person. Hey, watch your spirit when someone's wronged you. You say, but Brother Domley, it wasn't right. I know it wasn't right, but you got to watch your spirit. Don't let what they've done destroy your spirit. I'm going to be very tender about this subject, and I want to deal with it tenderly. You've been abused by someone, young ladies. You need God's grace for your spirit. I'm sure in a crowd of this size, there's some of you ladies out here, you was wronged by your daddy, a brother, an uncle, and they took something from you that did not belong to them. Now listen to me. You need God's grace for your spirit. If you're not careful, Satan will use that to destroy you. If you're not careful, it'll eat at you. Oh, it'll gnaw at you. And you know what I'm talking about. It just constantly comes back. And before long, you almost think of every man the same way. And they're all the same way. Now, watch your spirit. Watch your spirit. Oh, I'm not saying what they've done is right. I'm saying what they've done to you is wrong. But may I say, you cannot let that destroy the rest of your life. You've got to watch your spirit. You say, but Brother Domley, it's so hard. I know it's wrong, but you got to understand, hey, Satan's after your spirit. Satan's trying to destroy you. Hey, may I say to you, may I beg, as much as it hurts inside of what you've gone through, may I say, you need to beg God and say, God, I need your grace for my spirit. I don't want to let this one thing that's happening in my life cause me to be a bitter, angry, a bad person. Oh, hey, watch yourself. Watch your spirit when someone's abused you. When someone's wronged you financially. You need God's grace for your spirit. Hey, the quickest way to get someone on your bad side, take their money. You know what I'm talking about. You went in a business dealing with someone in the church. And they reneged on their deal. And now you're left stuck. Finances ruined. Now, if you're not careful, Satan will use that to get your spirit. You said, preacher, they took my money. I earned that. I mean, I worked hard for that. I understand. But hey, you need God's grace for your spirit. Let me help you out. God can take care of that finances, and God can take care of them. But listen, you don't need to let the finances of someone ruin. I'm hurting you financially. You don't need to let that destroy your spirit. You've got to watch your spirit. Why? Because when you've been wrong financially, you need God's grace for your spirit. When you've been gossiped about. When people attack you, you need God's grace for your spirit. My wife, she loves the fire out of me, and I can understand because to know me is to love me. My wife, oh, she hates it when people gossip about me. It just gets under her skin. And I want to say, good girl, good girl. Boy, I mean, someone says something bad about me, they better not come around my wife. She's about ready to claw their eyes out in Christian love. Boy, someone writes me a mean letter, and I know you don't understand. You say, oh, Brother Domley, you mean people would write you a mean letter? With you being such a nice guy, I know it's shocking, isn't it? But, I mean, I'll get a mean letter. Buddy, she'll find out about that. Man, she's wanting to jump on the airplane to go find that person who wrote that letter. Now, my wife looks at me. She goes, honey, why? She goes, how do you take it? They gossip about you. They attack. What? How do you put up with it? I said, honey, they're talking about a good subject. You'll catch that later on. Hey, you've just got to have a sense of humor, ladies and gentlemen. They're going to talk about you. They're going to gossip about you. If you're going to do right, sometimes you just have to have a sense of humor and say, okay, I can't stop them. I'm not going to let this destroy my spirit. Boy, I've been slandered, talked about. You'd think I'm the child of the devil sometimes. Doesn't that bother you? No, sir. Why? I understand they're probably hurting people. So they gossip about you. Okay, watch your spirit. Hey, you're not careful. You'll let that little piece of gossip start eating you up. That little piece of gossip will start getting inside of you. And you'll say, boy, I can't believe they're ruining my name. They're ruining my character. I worked all these years. How am I going to face these people? Tell you exactly how. You run to God and you say, God, I need your grace for my spirit. I don't want to let this gossip destroy my spirit. I don't want the ones who've gossiped about me have the pleasure of destroying me. Hey, God, I need your grace for my spirit. Well, listen to me. When your mate has wronged you and you've gone through divorce, you listen to me, divorced couples, or those going through divorce, you better watch your spirit. Now, I'm not for divorce. I think when you say till death do us part, I mean that. But I understand things happen. I understand sometimes things are beyond your control. And I understand, hey, hateful things can happen. But ladies and gentlemen, hey, if you've ever been divorced or you're going through divorce, hey, so you can get two Christians that'll go through divorce that'll act worse than the lost crowd can. Now, listen, hey, you're going through that time. Don't let that divorce run your spirit. Hey, you need God's grace for your spirit. You watch two couples go to the same church, all of a sudden have marriage problems and end up getting divorced. They're not careful, they'll become bitter people, start fighting and squabbling with each other. How in the world? I'll tell you exactly how. Satan got the spirit. I don't care what that other person's done to you. You listen to me. Watch your spirit. Watch your spirit. Watch your spirit. When someone has wronged you, hey, you need God's grace for your spirit. There's another time you need God's grace for your spirit. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul, closing that chapter out, says, the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Now, if you know anything about the books of 1 and 2 Timothy, it's Paul writing to a preacher boy, trying to train him for the ministry, preparing him, helping him how to run the churches and how to do things right and how to pastor right. And then he closes out and says, the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Why? Because Paul was warning Timothy. He said, Timothy, if you're not careful, he says the ministry can become hard on you. And if you're not careful, you can become bitter through the ministry. Now watch your spirit when the ministry has been especially hard on you. Hey, I come to you tonight and I say, hey, when the ministry has been hard on you, when the work of God has been hard on you, you need God's grace for your spirit. Let me just get a little personal. I say to the preacher's kids, I say to the full-time servant's kids, the staff kids, you listen to me, you listen to me. You need God's grace for your spirit when people start saying bad things about your mom and dad. I know what it feels like. I know it's hurtful. You don't understand it at times. You listen to me. Those who are on staff around here, your mom or your dad's on staff, and people start saying things about your parents that aren't true, and you sit there and, boy, hey, if you're not careful, you'll become bitter, and you'll become angry at the ministry, and one day you'll drop out of church. Hey, may I say, watch your spirit, young person. Be careful. Hey, don't let the hardness of the ministry destroy your spirit. You have too much potential. Don't let Satan ruin it. Let me say to those you're not in staff. You're not in the pastoral staff. You're not even in the school staff. Don't hold these staff kids up to a different measurement than what you hold your own kids up to. These kids are normal kids. Just because they didn't choose mom and dad to be on staff, they were just born in that family. Daddy was the one, or mama was the one. Now, hey, don't you say, well, they ought to know better. They're the kid. They're the preacher's kids. They're the church. They're the assistant pastor's kids. Hey, how about your kids? Your kids ought to know better, apparently. Now, I'm saying, hey, young person, watch your spirit. And the ministry's been hard. I come to the preacher's wife and the assistant pastor's wives. I say you need God's grace for your spirit when the ministry gets hard on you. Let me tell you something. You want to know who takes the hardest hit of the ministry? That lady right there. When this man is attacked, she takes it personally because she loves him. I don't know why, but she loves him. Mission project, that's what it is. I want you to listen very carefully. The greatest thing that is getting people out of full-time service is the wives of the full-time servant. They've been wronged. They've been hurt. And they get bitter inside before long. They ride on the husband so much, he says, I can't take it anymore. Now, I know it's hard on you. I know it's rough. I've watched my mama go through it, and I wondered how my mama could sit there and take it and still keep the good spirit. Now, may I say to those of you ladies who are in full-time servants of God, your husband's in the service here, may I say, watch your spirit. Watch your spirit when the ministry becomes especially hard. Hey, you better beg and say, God, I need your grace. My spirit. I say to the preacher, I say to those good men and women that work with him, you need God's grace for your spirit when the ministry gets especially hard. Sometimes we don't always understand, do we, some of the things of the ministry, but you need God's grace for your spirit. Sometimes you look at the ministry and the finances are low, and sometimes people that you help the most are the ones that turn on you. You scratch your head and say, what in the world? I invested the most in them and they have turned on me. You need God's grace. You need God's grace. Hey, watch your spirit. Don't let the hardness of the ministry cause you to become a bitter person. I come to those Christians that you've been ran over by a church ministry somewhere. Oh, I'm sure there's some of you inside this church right now. You're here. You're faithful to the church, but that's all you do, because you won't get involved because some church somewhere ran all over you and used you. Now you're angry and bitter because one ministry was hard on you. Hey, you need God's grace for your spirit. May I say to you, if you've been ran over by some ministry somewhere, may I say, not every ministry is that way. You got to watch your spirit. I just hate to say this, but we're humans that God uses to run the ministry, and every once in a while we'll mess up and we'll hurt you. Please don't take it personally. Please don't take it that, well, I can't believe they do it. We'll mess up, and I'm sorry when we do, and I know we ought to be better preachers and we ought to be better leaders, but please, hey, watch your spirit when that happens. When Brother Rogers does something and it hurts you and you say, I can't believe he'd do that. Understand he's human, but get God's grace for your spirit. One of the staff men maybe do something that the preacher wouldn't do and they hurt you. They don't mean it. They didn't walk out and say, I want to hurt that. It happens. We're humans. Watch your spirit. Not careful, the devil will use that to cause a split in the church. Why? Didn't get God's grace for your spirit. When you've lost your finances because of the ministry, you need God's grace for your spirit. When your mates left you because your mate got tired of the ministry, you need God's grace for your spirit. When you lose your kids because of the ministry, you need God's grace for your spirit. When you've lost your health because you burnt yourself out because of ministry, you need God's grace. The Spirit. You ever get to the point in life? You feel like so much pressure's on you from the trials. You don't know if you could take any more. Have you ever gone to God and the pressures are all about you? You say, God, if one more thing comes, I don't know if I could take it anymore. God, could you just relieve the pressure just a bit? When you come to that point, may I say you need God's grace for your spirit. You say, preacher, what is this grace? You say we need God's grace. What is this grace that you're talking about? I'll tell you exactly what it is. It's acting to that situation the same way that Jesus would have reacted if it happened to him. It's having the same attitude, the same spirit, the same response that Jesus would have if he had been abused, if he had been wronged, if others had talked about him, if he was rebuked wrongly, if the ministry was hard on him. Hey, how did Jesus handle it? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. How did he do that? Exactly how. He had the grace of God pouring out upon his spirit. keeping him. Ladies and gentlemen, if anyone could have been bitter, it could have been Jesus on that cross. He left heaven to come down to die for you and I. He left golden streets to come to dusty streets. He left mansions to come to cottages. He left praise to come and be rebuked and slandered. And yet, while on the cross, he says, Father, forgive them. How? He got God's grace for his spirit. How do I get this grace? Tell you exactly how. Number one, ask God for his grace for your spirit every day. Every day. If you could come inside of my prayer life every morning, hear one of my prayers every morning, I come to God. God, I ask you for your grace for my spirit. God, I don't want to become a bitter old man. God, would you please give me your grace for my spirit? I literally beg God every day. Say, God, I need your grace. God, would you please give me your grace for my spirit? Don't let these hardships of life that have come my way, and the slander and the attacks and the rebukes and all that's happened to me. God, don't let that destroy my spirit. God, I beg you. I plead with you. I need your grace for my spirit. I can't stress enough to you. But every day, you run to God, and every day you say, God, I need your grace for my spirit. How do I get this grace? Second, don't dwell on what's happened. See, I'm not dwelling on it. Why do you keep on bringing it up? If you're not dwelling on it, you wouldn't bring it up. Apparently, you're dwelling on it. Apparently, it's still bothering you. Apparently, it's still festering inside of you. Why? You're thinking about it. You dwell on that problem, ladies and gentlemen. The devil will use that time that you dwell on that to continue just to kind of pick at it. It'll never heal as long as you're picking at it. Just like an open sore, just keeps on picking at it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm saying you better watch yourself. Hey, don't dwell on it. You've got to move on in life. It's past. How do I get this grace? I said, one, ask God for his grace every day. I said, second, don't dwell on it. Third, think of how good God has been to you. You know, the quickest way to stop dwelling on your problems is to think how good God has been to you. Yeah. You know, let me just say this evening. God's been good to every one of us. If you're saved tonight, God's been good. If you're breathing air tonight, God's been good. Hey, God's been mighty good. Hey, I start dwelling in how good God has been to Alan Domley. Buddy, before long, my mind is off the hard times of life. Hey, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. My sins are gone. I'm going to heaven someday. There's a mansion being built for me there. Jesus is my Savior. Hey, heaven's my home. The Holy Spirit's my comforter. I have a wife that loves me. I have a daughter that adores me. I have a church I can go to. I have a Bible to read. I've seen people saved, and God's using me. Hey, I have eyes that see, and ears that hear, and legs that walk, and a mouth that speaks, and a body that's healthy. I have a car to drive. I've had food to eat. I've got clothes on my back. My bills have been paid. I live in America. Hey, God's been mighty good to me. I start thinking about the goodness of God, ladies and gentlemen. All of a sudden, God lifts me up out of the doldrums of my self-pity. I get on top side and say, hey, thank God, God's been mighty good. How do I get God's grace? I said, one, ask God for his grace for your spirit every day. I said, second, don't dwell on what's happened. I said, third, think of how good God's been to you. And fourth, get your eyes off yourself by going and helping others. You know, the quickest way to get your eyes off your problems is go help somebody else. So what do I do?
If you're a lady, hey, go find someone that needs some chocolate chip cookies and make them a batch of chocolate chip cookies. Not the type that are weapons, the type that pull out right before they're done. Gooey in the middle. Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought I'd get some response over here. I knew the spiritual hypocrisy over here. But watch your spirit. But anyway. Hey. Go invest in others. Go help others. That's why your preacher begs you all the time, get in the ministry. Hey, get involved in ministry. Why? Ladies and gentlemen, the ministry is one of the greatest ways to get your eyes off yourself. Have you ever figured out when you're helping others, you don't think about yourself? When you're helping others, your mind is off of all your problems because you're investing your life in others. Hey, that's the quickest way to get God to pour His grace on your spirit. Every day of my life, when I pray for my wife and my daughter, I ask God for His grace for their spirit because I don't want them to become bitter. Every day. When I know someone's been hurt and I'm praying for them, I say, God, would you please pour your grace upon their spirit? Help their spirit right now. God, help them have that excellent spirit of Daniel. I was talking to someone a few years ago. Someone who told me about their brother had some type of snake, poisonous snake in a cage. He said his brother called him over and said, let me show you what happens when this poison, when this snake bites someone. He got a piece of red meat. I think he had a rattlesnake inside of that tank, and he got that rattlesnake and he put the fangs of that snake on that red meat and let the poison sink down into that red meat. Put the snake back inside the cage, closed up that bag. He says, tomorrow I want to show you what's going to happen. Say, next day I woke up at my brother's house. My brother pulled that bag out. Says, I looked at the bag. I saw where the fangs were. He says, that meat had started to rot. Become black around that poison. He said, my brother told me, he says, if a person is struck, he said, that the poison, that's what that poison does. It rots the flesh. He says, they don't get it treated. He said, if we didn't cut this out, that poison would spread through all this meat and the meat would become completely black by the poison of that snake. Hey, has your spirit rotted? Because Satan found one hole in your spirit. He struck you. God has poisoned a bitterness inside of your spirit. You let it fester and fester and fester. So now you've got a rotten spirit inside. A bitter spirit. So how do I take care of it, preacher? There's only one way that you can cure that. The grace of God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, it don't matter what I preach on this week, if you've let bitterness creep inside your spirit, we'll never have revival. Never. I think one of the greatest things that are hurting revival in our churches, people have been hurt. They don't deal with it. They never get the grace of God for their spirit, and God cannot work inside of someone who's bitter, whose spirit has become so bitter. I say tonight, why don't we as a whole church come down to an old-fashioned altar? You come as close as you can. Leave your seat. Come down to this altar and say, God, I don't want that. I don't want that old bitter spirit. God, I want your grace. I want your grace for my spirit. I'll tell you a story and I'll be done. Probably tell you another story and be done again. I was sitting inside the office of my preacher years ago, Brother Hiles. He said to me, he was towards the end of his life. He said, Brother Domley, he said, I've got to watch myself. He said, I've been attacked a lot in the ministry. He said, if I'm not careful, he says, I've watched men who've been attacked like what I've been attacked. He says, become bitter old men. He says, they're still preaching, but they're bitter old men. They're angry at everything. He says, I don't want to become that way. The older you get, if you're not careful, you become a bitter old person. You know the story of Dennis the Menace? You know that older man in that what's his name? Help me out. Mr. Wilson. You know what his problem was? Got a bitter spirit. And Dennis got it a spirit and let it fester. Became a bitter old man. No one wanted to be around him. Are you that way? Have you had a little crack inside of your spirit? You got rebuked and you didn't deal with it. Got hurt, didn't deal with it. Ministry is hard on you, didn't deal with it. Slowly but surely, it's rotting your spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, Father. God, tonight, we have got to be so careful about our spirit. Oh, the devil would love to destroy our spirit. He'd love to get at it, puncture it, kill it. Some of us, we're still doing your work, but it keeps on festering. We keep on letting it eat at us. We've never got your grace for our spirit. I beg you tonight, may this church tonight become a church that your grace is poured out upon their spirit. Please, I beg you, help your people tonight not to become bitter people. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. You're in here tonight and you say, Preacher, I needed that sermon tonight. Boy, he was right inside of my living room of my heart. I needed that. As you close in prayer, remember me in prayer. I needed that sermon tonight. If you like that, would you slip your hand way up high all over the auditorium? Boy, I see countless numbers of hands are raised. You can put them down. Many hands are raised. You can put them down. I wonder who else is it? See, I didn't raise my hand with these, preacher. I should have. Include me in that prayer. I needed that tonight. I needed that. Oh, preacher, pray for me. I didn't raise my hand with these. I should have. Feel like that? Is there someone else? Would you slip your hand up high? Just slip up high. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? And God bless you. Someone else? Someone else? God bless you. And God bless you. You're here tonight. If you're not saved, you need God's grace for your soul, first of all. If you're here tonight, you say, Brother Domley, if I died tonight, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. Pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Is there someone like that here tonight? Would you just slip your hand up high? I won't embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. I'm not sure that I'm saved tonight, but I'd like to get that settled. Is anyone like that? Just raise it up high until I see it. Anyone like that? Anyone like that? In just a moment, I'm going to pray. As soon as I'm done praying, we're going to stand to our feet. Heads will be bowed. Eyes will be closed. I'm going to point to the pianist. She's going to begin to play. There'll be no singing. If God spoke to your heart, whether you raised your hand or not, I want you to leave your seat. I want you to go to the nearest aisle. I want you to come down the front, kneel down at this altar tonight. I want you to come to God tonight and say, God, I do need your grace for my spirit. I don't want these things. And tell God about it. He wants to hear it. I don't want these things to destroy my spirit. God, would you please help my spirit? Give me your grace. And heal the part of my spirit that's already injured. You do that tonight. Father, you know the needs. I imagine if every one of us were honest tonight, just probably about 90% of the crowd, if not 100% of the crowd, needed what I spoke tonight. If we've been involved in the ministry, we needed what I preached tonight. Help us tonight not to stay in our seats, but may we find ourselves moving down to this old-fashioned altar
getting that spirit healed, but begging that you begin to pour your grace upon our spirit. Bless this invitation as only you can, Holy Spirit, I pray.